Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News, covering Michigan State football and basketball. Big basketball game tonight against the Iowa Hawkeyes. 7 o'clock tip over at Breslin Center, but there's some football news, too. Some papal smoke, and yesterday we got the official word that Michigan State has another defensive line coach to go with Brandon Jordan. Matt, what do you think about the hiring of Dyron Reynolds?
Well, I can't say I know a whole lot about Dyron Reynolds, to be honest with you, other than, you know, obviously you do a little research on the guy and see where he's been. And he certainly had NFL experience, been at Stanford for a while. Now, there's, I think you can look at it a lot of different ways, because it's not like Stanford has been exactly a juggernaut defensively, but certainly against the run, then that could be a concern. I guess the optimistic view would be to look and see, you know, with what the recruiting's been like at Stanford, the challenges they have there. But, you know, I can understand some people wondering a little bit about that. I know there was a push from a lot of people for Kevin Dickerson to be elevated to that spot. But, you know, we'll see. A guy certainly with plenty of experience and a history with Mel Tucker. I mean, a relationship, according to Mel, from a statement, obviously. So, you know, we'll see. I can't. I don't know if it's one of these hires that everyone's fired up about, or like generates all this excitement, like when they hired Brandon Jordan. So we'll have to see. But you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for now, and see how it plays out.
Yeah, I guess the NFL experience and having been on a Super Bowl staff with Tony Dungy. I don't know if you saw the comments from Dungy about this guy, but it's like he invented defensive line play. And then to have been at the Power 5 level with Oklahoma, again, in the Big 12, a lot of offensive fireworks. But, you know, Oklahoma can have its choice of coaches for the most part. And then after 1 year there, he went with David Shaw to Stanford and developed some NFL players there. So, you know, sometimes you may not get exactly what everyone is looking for, but if you get what the head coach is looking for, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I feel like there's a lot of times you see a certain assistant coach in a certain situation where it doesn't work out, and you think, oh, boy, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And then his next stop, you know, he's the new hot assistant, depending on, you know, a lot of circumstances, who's, you know, your personnel, all sorts of things. It's interesting you mentioned Oklahoma. That was the year they were in the playoff opposite Michigan State, but not a lot of, you know, not exactly a lot of defense out there in the Big 12. I don't think Oklahoma's known for its defense, but again, you're right. I mean, I am firmly in the wait and see category in this. I'm not about to trash it when, you know, the guy's yet to coach it down here. So, you know, for Michigan State fans, you got to hope. His, you know, you're putting your trust in Mel Tucker, obviously, making this call. So it's that's the point I'm at with it. We'll see how it plays out. You know, it's not exactly a hire, I think, that's getting everyone fired up.
He has a reputation as a good recruiter, but not necessarily a program-turning recruiter. And I think that's very important to Mel. But one other factor here, Matt, and I don't know exactly how to talk about this, but it was mentioned to me, so not some crazy idea I came up with. If you look at Mel and his 10 assistants now, 7 of them are African-American. And it was said that that will never hurt you on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it would. I certainly don't think he's hiring guys just because of that.
Right, right.
But the results
have improved, so maybe that's different from when you used to have a black assistant or 2 or 3 or 4.
Right.
And now when you have the head coach and the majority of his assistants being of color, I would think that that is something that's done for a reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we would all hope the primary reason is because they're good at an assistant coach, right? And then, as we know at the college level, it's, you know, coaching and the X's and O's is just one part of it. In fact, you know, not even the biggest part of it. It's so much about recruiting, and if you get guys in there that are obviously good at both, that's the ideal you have. And I mean, it'd be naive to think a lot of the decisions in terms of staff and all that doesn't also, you know, use recruiting as a factor. I mean, it's so vital these days. And you're right, we've seen Michigan State's recruiting improve. Is that the sole reason why? I mean, I would doubt that, but I would say Mel's probably looking at every aspect he possibly can when hiring an assistant at this point. So, you know, if the makeup of his staff is helping him in recruiting, but also not hurting him on the field, I think it makes sense. Obviously they've had success here on the field, not as much as they wanted to last year, but I don't think you can argue at all with the recruiting. So I'm sure that's a big part in his choice and all of his staff, really, not just this hire, but any of them.
Well, when one of your players is the number three overall pick in an NFL draft, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that the fact that Dyron is also a California guy now, was not originally, but is now, can't hurt either in terms of recruiting California, something that didn't used to be a factor for Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Now it certainly is. And also, it's another set of eyes in terms of portal prospects.
Sure, right. And you're right. The recruiting thing, you know, 10 years ago, the idea of needing a, you know, good contact in California didn't really happen. They didn't even think about it. But you want to play at the level that Mel Tucker wants to play at and, expects to play at, you got to recruit all over this country. I mean, he's shown certainly has pushed further south. And you're right, they're going to have to start looking for players out there. Already have, obviously, out west. That certainly doesn't hurt a guy who's been out in that area and been recruiting in that area for quite some time now. So that's got to help the recruiting base as well.
Matt, while we're talking about recruiting, we're going to segue into basketball here. But Michigan State with two McDonald's All-Americans, and depending on who you talk to, two others who could have been or maybe should have been. One of them, one of the fastest risers in the class and one of the highest risers in Colin Carr. And some people think that he has as much NBA potential as any of the four. And Garrick Norman, we know that there are people who have seen his game and are absolutely enamored, including some pro people. And then you have the McDonald's All-Americans in Jeremy Fears Jr. and Xavier Booker. So I think that there's going to be maybe a little more interest in this game than there's been in some time around here. Mm-hmm. And also be very interesting to see how these guys do.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, you know, the last time they had two guys, what was Miles and Josh Langford?
That's correct.
That was 16, and that's when they played the game in Chicago. So you could easily bop over to Chicago and see it be played. Of course, this year's in Houston. Makes it a little tougher. Be more convenient for all of us if Michigan State makes the Final Four, right? So we'd be there already and go see that. But you're right. You think about the last few games. I mean, Max Christie was a McDonald's All-American, but they didn't play the game.
Right.
And obviously all four guys were nominated. You could have seen a case where all of them were in there. So I think you're right. There's definitely going to be interest. I think there's more interest right now in trying to catch, you know, wherever you can get snippets or highlights or whatever these guys are doing in their senior year. I mean, I was even looking at schedules, like when can I kind of, you know, connect it to a road trip and go see these guys play a little bit. Because, we haven't had there hasn't been a recruiting crash like this in a few years, obviously, since that, you know, Bridges, Cassius, Ward, Langford class. So there's certainly a lot of anticipation and excitement for it. So I think you're right. People are dialed in now, and either they're going to watch that game. I don't know how much you learned from an All-Star game, to be honest with you, but it's kind of like that feather in the cap to say, hey, we got a couple guys in that game. And as far as like Colin Carr, that guy's lighting up social media. You can find highlights of him every day, pretty much. So,
right.
There's certainly no lack of anticipation for what's coming next year, and it'll be interesting when you tie it all into this year's roster and who could come back, who might come back, and what this thing could look like. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism around this program.
Who do we know from the current roster who will not be back?
I don't know if you can say anyone will not. You know, I know officially we can't say officially anyone's not coming back, because every one of them could in terms of eligibility. That includes Joey Hauser, includes Tyson Walker and Malik Hall. Obviously, the guys we're focusing, the guys who are seniors.
Right.
I'd be shocked if all of them came back. I'd also be just as shocked if none of them came back.
Okay.
I mean, the way Malik Hall's season's going, I think he'd be the most likely to come back. You know, for the other guys, it's tough. I mean, Joey Hauser's, you know, a 6'9 kid who can shoot the ball and has gotten in really good shape. You know, maybe it's time. This is his shot to make it in the NBA. You know, I don't know if I would have said that a year ago, but that's the turnaround he's made. And Tyson Walker, you know, we'll have to see. Is he still a little undersized for the NBA? Yeah, a little bit, but the way he's playing, maybe that's enough to not come back. It's hard to say right now. I don't think there's nothing official on any of those three guys. I'd be surprised if all of them left. And I'd put my best bet on Malik Hall right now if you had to pick one. Coming back.
We're talking with Matt Charbonneau. Does a great job covering Michigan State football and basketball for the Detroit News. Matt, when I left, it was the day after the one-point loss to Purdue, and Jackson Kohler was a non-factor, was almost unplayable in that game. Carson Cooper was ahead of him in the rotation. And then I go to Hong Kong, and I check some of this. What the? And he got 12 points and 11 rebounds and 3 block shots. What did they feed Jackson Kohler between Monday and Thursday?
Maybe it was just a couple games in a row watching Carson Cooper kind of taking his minutes. That's a little motivation. I just think every game the guy's getting a little more comfortable. And look, he offensively is starting to feel more comfortable. I mean, we saw him early in there. You know his skill, his footwork, all those things. But he was unsure of himself at times when he's short-arming some of those jump hooks or whatever. Yeah. And the other key for him is defensively. Look, I think we all understand he's never going to be an All-American defender. You know, you just kind of got to hold your own in there. And
if you want Hakeem Olajuwon, you probably got the wrong guy, right?
I mean, and those are tough matchups, especially Zach. I mean, it's a tough matchup for anybody trying to guard Zach Edey, but for Jackson Kohler especially, it's probably not the game he's going to get a whole lot of minutes in. So, it's the whole thing of Tom Izzo talked about this a little bit recently of taking advantage of your opportunity when it comes. You just don't know when it's going to be. And for Jackson Kohler, that came Thursday because he hadn't played. I mean, I think the most he played is 7 minutes over the previous, like, four games. That he was ready to go. You know, we saw the offensive skill, and we've seen it the last couple of games. And he's been okay defensively. As long as you can get that out of him, it's funny, the fact that he's not very athletic almost helps him. He's not trying to block a bunch of shots, and he's not, not going for all the pump fakes because he can't really jump and block it anyway. So, and no one really did great against Trace Jackson Davis, although I'll contend his numbers got inflated pretty well late in that game. I mean, like 13 points came in the last 4 minutes when that game had pretty well been decided. So, it's not like they got destroyed by him. So, I just think you've seen a kid who's just kind of plugging along. He's figuring out as he goes. He's, as Tom Izzo says all the time, there's a process, and he's just kind of going through it. There's going to be – look, he's going to have probably more games this year where you're like, what the hell is this kid doing? But it's just part of that growing up and figuring it out, and I think he's doing that. So if he can – like I said, if he can be okay defensively, he's going to be a guy they're going to be able to count on for a while now.
So in this 9-day Asian excursion, I see Michigan State beat Rutgers by 13 – and I think Rutgers is probably a better team than Indiana. And then they lose by 13 in Bloomington. And that was a game at Michigan State led by 2, I think, in the second half. Mm-hmm. But what happened down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to use this excuse and sound like I'm making excuses for them. But they really, I mean, I don't think they had much left in the tank by the last 8-9 minutes. And the other thing, too, is, When A.J. Hogard and Jay Nakins go out with foul trouble late in that first half, you know, when A.J. first got that second foul, Michigan State was up, I want to say they were up 9 at that point. Look, a bad foul, and whether he fouled him or not, I don't know. But he's, you know, he's closing out and trying to block a three-pointer on a guy who doesn't even shoot 20% from three.
Yeah.
Probably not exactly the smartest move. And we can debate all day whether Tom should have put him back in with two fouls. That's a fair debate, I think. But when you play, when you had a nine-point lead, and that turns into, by the end of the half, you're scrambling just to be down five, I mean, that turns the game pretty significantly. And then so now you're in the position of trying to come back. You're already shorthanded. Malik's not playing. Tyson Walker, we find out after, hasn't eaten in 2 days, and is playing sick. So, you know, you get to that point where there's 8-9 minutes to go, and it's not really surprising that they kind of ran out of gas there, because they had the Akins three put them up a couple points, and then it just everything just kind of fell apart again. They missed some shots, some defensive breakdowns. You know, you're counting on guys like Pierre Brooks, who's still lost most of the time defensively. Maybe not as bad as he was before, but still. I just think that all kind of added up, and Indiana was, you know, he had two guys that were 8 of 9 from three-point range that aren't exactly sharpshooters, and that just happens sometimes. And, you know, part of it's scheduling, part of it's just the way it goes. And it's not what you want to hear when you've lost 3 of 4. But I think a lot of it goes into that. And it just goes back to the point of how important it'll be to get Malik Carr back, if, when, who knows.
Malik Hall.
And, he's just so vital to it. Not only everything he does, but just having another body out there. You know, you got to go pretty deep. You're playing Jason White in significant minutes. And who knows, that those might keep growing if Pierre Brooks still struggles defensively. So I just... And it creates the whole argument, should Tom Izzo have gotten a guy at the portal, and he talked about that this week. Depth is a problem for a lot of teams, and when you lose a couple guys injury and a couple fouls early, puts you in a tough spot, and I just think that's where they were third game of the week, and they didn't have much left in the last few minutes. And so a close game turned into a 13-point loss pretty fast.
And I think we all saw a different Pierre Brooks. Moneyball. Now, Moneyball, we know what that is, okay? But still, he looked different than he does now. And I don't know how Tom Izzo could have figured he was going to go home over the break and suddenly come back carrying an extra 9-pound tire.
Yeah. It's not helping. I mean, you're right. The Moneyball is Moneyball, but he is not in the shape he was then. No. And I think when people hear Tom, he's frustrated by it, and that's it. Pierre's not doing right now the things he needs to do to be ready to play. It's not about missing shots. You know, I mean, he's whatever. He's missed some shots, had some good looks. But when you see him not ready to go, not able to defend the way he should, not that he's a great defender, but that can be frustrating for a coach. You're right. You're not anticipating injuries. You're not anticipating a lot of things, but you're also not anticipating that. So there is some frustration there, but I think we'll see. Pierre understands that, and we'll see if this late in the year he can kind of get it back together. We'll see. But he's on a short leash right now. There's no doubt, because he's allowed himself to get like this and isn't in the shape he should have been. Certainly not like he was coming out of the summer.
Yeah. Matt, I've seen Assembly Hall, or what do they call it now, Scott Center, I guess.
Whatever. Assembly Hall is still in the name.
It's still Assembly Hall to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
When that building is electrified, it probably ranks with any in the country. What was it like Sunday?
It was exactly what you'd expect. And here's the thing about the schedule, too. And people have heard Tom complaining about the schedule. And he's complained most about the number of games. But if you really look at it, the other thing is Michigan State hosted Michigan on January 7th.
Yeah.
They don't have a home weekend game in the Big Ten again from that point until the last weekend of the season. Every weekend is a road Big Ten game. So you're playing – so now you're the marquee game. You know, you're there at noon at Assembly Hall, you know, on CBS, the national game. It's going to be the same thing this Sunday at Purdue. You know, they keep being that team that's coming in for the big game, you know, like play Indiana on a Tuesday night at 6:30 on BTN, you know, when everyone hasn't gotten off work yet or whatever. It never seems to be those games, you know, you're playing the game on the weekend, and that's what it was last weekend in Indiana. It'll be that again at Mackey, which is a complete snake pit in that place. So it's, I mean, you got to win on the road, but it's, sometimes they're in environments that are tougher than they probably should be if you're looking at it equally. So there's some frustration there too. Like when's the last time Michigan State had a big weekend home game? You're not going to get one until the last weekend of the season. So that's been tough. And of course, Assembly Hall was, even if they were unsure, once they started hitting a few of those threes and whatever, then it was, and I'll tell you the other thing, the way Indiana played that game would have made fans of the Bad Boys really happy. I mean, you know, Mati Sissoko gets hit early for really no apparent reason. Yeah. There's a lot of jawing, a lot of, little shoves here and there. You know, not some people love that. You know, and it certainly, and Joey Hauser admitted it got under their skin a little bit at times in that first half. So, you know, it wasn't a place for, as Mickey Redmond says, it's no place for a nervous person. It sure wasn't on Sunday, and I'm sure it won't be again this Sunday.
Well, what do you make of the challenge tonight? Iowa rolling in, and we've seen the Hawkeyes lose at home to Eastern Illinois. We saw them rally from 10 down with the Michigan brain fart to win in overtime. What do you expect from the Hawkeyes?
Well, that's funny. When we first came on, you said a big game against Iowa, and I'm pretty certain at this point they're all big games because I don't know who's a gimme anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. Even Minnesota.
The reason I say that is if you lose this one, then you got to go to Purdue, and this was probably seen as the most winnable, right?
Yeah. That, I've said that already. You got to win tonight because you have to assume. I mean, you're not going into any game expecting to lose, but going to Purdue on the road is going to be tough to win that game. So, yeah, you got to get, and that's the other thing too. If you look the whole rest of the season, you got to take care of your home games. If you do that, then you're in position to maybe grab one, two of the road games left. Then you're in really good position. Yeah. You're probably not going to win the Big Ten, but I'm talking about in terms of seeding. You want to stay off that 8-9 line anyway. Yeah. You do
get a
these
double
sort of
bye.
Things.
Yeah,
get yourself into the 5-6 range if you do those things. So I think that makes this game tonight really important. Win your home games. It's certainly not a gimme. We'll see if Patrick McCaffrey plays. I know he's been practicing. I think Fran McCaffrey said this week he'd be a game time decision tonight. But, he hasn't played in a few weeks, so we'll see. They're a team that is going to score the ball. They're not going to play a whole lot of defense. But that hasn't changed since Fran's been there, so I don't think anyone will be surprised by what we see. It'll just be a matter of if they start hitting a bunch of threes, too, like some teams have, it could be difficult. But, Michigan State has certainly been up to task most nights on that as well. So, it's going to be a tough game. You're going to have to score a little bit because Iowa certainly is. So we'll see. We'll see what their lineup looks like, and we'll also wonder about, does Malik Hall come back tonight? My gut is he probably doesn't, but we'll see. We'll get there early and get an idea of what's going on.
And someone there tonight, I don't know who or how many, will look at the Iowa team and say, Murray, Kay Murray, that guy went in the NBA. What's he doing?
Yeah, and looks like, obviously they're twins, but.
Twins, yeah.
When you don't know them, you look at them and you're like, he's literally the exact same guy. It was funny coming into the year, I thought, are we just assuming he's going to be as good as his brother? That's quite a leap because brother was pretty darn good. And I'll tell you what, he's been pretty darn good all year. Second in the Big Ten scoring overall. I think he's leading the Big Ten in scoring in just conference games. So, everything you remember about Keegan Murray, pretty much you're getting with Chris Murray. So he has certainly gone from being that complimentary piece to the guy there. That's the other thing when you don't have a guy like Malik Hall. There's not a perfect guy to cover Chris Murray. Like Malik Hall would clearly be that guy. So without him, you're probably going to be trying a lot of different things because, Jay Nakins would be undersized. Joey's gotten better and is okay, but he's not going to defend certainly like Malik. So, It makes it a challenge, so it'll be interesting to see how and who really is guarding Chris Murray tonight the most, because that's the place you really miss a guy like Malik.
Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News, our guest. Matt, thanks so much. We'll see you tonight at Breslin.
See you, Jack. Thanks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.